Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Jarreau in their passion to help you live out your best life. We hope you enjoyed today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Merry Christmas. I remember Crystal, who is just out here singing. Heather and I knew her when she was just an awkward little teenager, and now she's a beautiful worship leader with a beautiful family, and it's amazing the progression of life. And when you think about Christmas, one of the greatest treasures of Christmas, I think what's most exciting, if we were to be honest today, is unwrapping the presents, isn't it? Getting to see what's inside the present. And I remember being young, and we'd see the present, and we'd see the gift, and you'd stare at it, and then you'd want to shake it, you'd want to feel the weight of it, guess what's inside of it. But ultimately, I imagine many of us in this room are excited about opening presents that were carefully wrapped for us just in a few more days. And it's, when you think about it, it's kind of a strange thing that we do, wrapping gifts. My wife wrapped this one for her friend. She does a lot nicer job than I do. I think you should wrap your gifts, though, don't you? Two of my sons have birthdays in the month of December because we don't have enough going on. And so we have two birthday parties in the last couple weeks of December, and we were celebrating one of their birthdays recently, and it was, we're at the dining room table going around and giving gifts. And one of my sons, it was time to give his gift. And so he puts it on the table, and it's a bag. And he said, "There it is." And his brother pulled it out of the bag. And I took him in the other room afterwards. I said, "We have a standard in this house. We wrap our gifts." Have you ever had that friend that just gives you the bag? I don't know. There's just something about concealing it. And I understand it's strange that we go through all this effort to conceal something only to reveal it. But there's something in that exchange. In fact, it's interesting that the very thing that conceals it is what brings joy when you get to reveal it. Tear apart that paper. Get to that present. I love the thought of preparing surprises for my kids on Christmas. And years and years ago, we had gotten our son a giant size yellow Hummer. It was one of those ride-on Hummers. Don't worry, it was electronic. It's very environmentally friendly. And they came into the room, and there it is, this giant thing, carefully concealed and paper, and they began to tear it off, and the shrieks of joy and the excitement, because that the thing that conceals it also is the mechanism that reveals it. As it was in Christmas, we celebrate something so long concealed, God's plan, the hope for humanity, a peace that passes understanding, forgiveness for everything we've ever done wrong, a place where we belong, a place to call home. All of that in the message of Christmas. And we find it in Luke chapter 2. And I want to read several verses to you from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And in this text, what we find is the thing that conceals the gift of God is actually part of the mechanism meant to reveal the gift of God. And I want you to see three things. And as I said, we're doing three installments. And God help us to get to all those installments. But I'll give you one thought now. The first thought is this. Christmas, the message of hope, was first concealed in difficulty. It was concealed and wrapped and disguised in difficulty. Verse 1 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and all the world would be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, engaged wife, who was with child. Verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him, for them in the inn. The very first Christmas. And in the very first Christmas, we see the message concealed in difficulty. We don't have to look very far in that text, but verse 1 says, in those days. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass in those days. Can I tell you what was significant about those days? Those days were difficult days. The days we find this passage were chaotic days. Times were bleak. The people of Judea were in a difficult time. They were oppressed, not just governmentally, but even personally for Joseph and Mary. These are difficult days. They've had somewhat of a scandalous engagement. They've got a pregnancy out of time without explanation. They don't have means. They don't have affluence. This is a difficult, difficult time. We live in a world where there's difficulty. Wouldn't you agree? I love the news and I love current events, and I'm kind of like, I love my timeline of news, and with the internet and with our news feeds today, you can get so much news. But can I be honest with you? There's so much negativity sometimes. There's so much difficulty. I don't know if I can, I don't even know if we were equipped to handle that wide of a funnel of that much difficulty. And you read about violence in this place and social chaos in another and natural disasters here, and you think, so much difficulty. Yet in the midst of all that difficulty, the message of hope arises. The message of hope comes forth. And all over the world this morning, there are people who are declaring Jesus, the name above every name. Jesus, the name above every other difficulty. And it's amazing how in the midst of difficulty, Jesus was revealed. There's people all over the world who believe in Jesus, who know him as the shepherd of their soul, the great physician of all their ailments, the hope of heaven for their life, the lover of their soul, the commander-in-chief who has a direction and a purpose for their life. And they know him. And can I tell you, there are people in churches all over the world today because of how you responded to difficulty. How in the midst of difficulty, you didn't allow that to conceal Jesus. You allowed that to reveal Jesus. When you lost that loved one, when you went through that job, that professional setback, when your kids were in that place and you didn't know where what was going to happen, in the midst of those difficult seasons, we believe and respond, and we see Jesus in the midst of tough times come forward. I believe the message of Christ, it's one of those messages. People can accuse it and reject it and critique it. They can say it's not relevant. They can say it's shallow. But then Jesus finds a way to show up in the midst of someone's difficult season and difficult moment. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't let, in your personal life, don't allow the difficulties of life conceal your faith in him. Keep trusting in God. Keep believing in God. He's the God who comes through in the 12th hour. He's the God who comes through in the midst of difficulty. That difficulty was not there to disguise him. That difficulty was there to magnify and reveal his majesty, not just in your life, but for the whole world to see. Was the message concealed in difficulty, but the message was concealed in uncertainty. We see again in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, And he said this in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And after that, the angels prompted a response, and they began to worship. And it says in verse 14, this is the song they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" We read in Luke chapter 2 that the message wasn't just concealed in difficulty, but the message was concealed in uncertainty. We read of these shepherds who are out in the field. It's the middle of the night, and they're not the most educated. They're not the most affluent. But this declaration, this revelation of what has been concealed becomes made known to them. And in that moment, it says in verse 9, it says, "And they were greatly afraid." They were terrified. One translation says, "What do these things mean?" There was uncertainty. Come on, we live in a world that's filled with uncertainty, don't we? We live in a world where there's no guaranteed conclusion. And many times we find ourselves wringing our hands, striving, straining, anxious to try to bring something to conclusion when there's so many variables and the uncertainty abounds. Will my marriage make it? Is this really what I should be doing with my life? And we have all these questions. And in that moment, it says these shepherds, with the help of a few angels, take their uncertainty and they begin to navigate their uncertainty. And what navigates uncertainty is worship. They begin to sing. And it says from there, they say, "Let's go." Now they're no longer fearful. They say, "Let's go and see what God has done." And the words and the lyrics of the song they sing is goodwill towards men. We were scared before because we didn't know what God's intentions were. But now we know God's intentions are good. His will is good. See, there's something inside of us when we don't know the answers and we don't know how to navigate. We're confused and we find ourselves in an uncertain place. We withdraw as if God is not in it. But the very thing that conceals him is the mechanism that will reveal him. Begin to worship, even in the difficult moment. Let the difficulty drive you to his presence. Don't let the difficulty alienate you. Don't allow it to put questions or for these doubts to take root, but something else to take root instead. A heart to say, "God is good, and his will for me is good. And so if there's uncertainty before me, then there's a reason for it. It's just to unwrap and reveal Jesus a little bit more to me. So I'm going to worship him in the midst of uncertainty. I'm going to continue to lift his name and declare his praise." When you think about these shepherds, here they are in a forgotten field in the middle of night. And here they are, the descendants of David, in the city of David, following in the footsteps of David, in the profession of David, and their declaration becomes that of David. David was a worshiper, and these shepherds find worship. Can I tell you the secret about worship? Worship, finding worship and responding to uncertainty in worship brings you an enduring strength to get past the difficulty to see the revelation of God's majesty. And these shepherds lived it. They walked and they found him in a manger and they began to worship him. Don't let uncertainty silence your worship. You say, "Well, I don't know what my worship is." It's your heart response to him. Sure, there'll be lyrics and melodies from time to time, but really at its essence, worship is surrender. Worship is a response to the overtures of heaven. Worship is the response of his initiation of love to us. Can I encourage you this morning? In your own life, in your own world, don't allow difficulty to conceal Jesus. Don't allow difficulties to stop that. Don't allow uncertainties to stop your worship. Continue to praise. Continue to thank Him in the middle of confusion. Continue to go for God and watch God reveal Jesus. He'll show up and He'll shine in the midst, even in the midst of difficulty. You didn't know there was snow in the forecast, did you? Somebody said during the five to me, they said, I'm not going to get snow this year. I said, well, maybe you'll get a surprise. That was beautiful. And it was beautiful. Ashley, we've watched grow up in church. I remember Ashley when she was 3, 4 years old and watched her navigate every season of life with a song in her mouth. Every season. it's something special to be part of a community where you are pulling for each other, standing with each other in those midst. So I'm going to wrap this up and try not to slip. If she can sing in it, I can stand in it. The last thought we find in Luke chapter 2 is not only was the message concealed in difficulty, and not only was it concealed in uncertainty, but it was concealed in obscurity. As we read this passage in Luke chapter 2, we see how Jesus is concealed in this obscure couple from this obscure location. But we've already discovered that these things come to conceal, but also at the same time reveal and magnify who God is. And in Luke chapter 2, we read it a few moments ago, verse 4, but let me refresh your memory. It says, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. We're saying that the message here is concealed by obscurity, and obscure means to not be seen, to not be known, not known or not seen, not understood, hidden. That's obscurity. And Joseph and Mary, they're from a place called Nazareth, which might not readily mean something to you, but Nazareth was kind of like this backwoodsy type of place. Think of, oh, I don't want to upset anybody. Since when? It's kind of like Chantilly, Virginia, or, I don't know, Bethesda, Maryland. No, I'm just kidding. It was just this obscure little town. Nazareth was considered obscure and irrelevant, kind of behind the times, an unrefined little community of know-nothings. In fact, it was such a place of low expectations that in John 1:46, we see Nathanael, and he makes a statement when he finds out. Philip says, come see this man. His name is Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathanael's response is, can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, that wasn't just a random statement. It was actually an expression of their day. Like we say, Maryland drivers are bad. They would say, and like Maryland drivers say, DC drivers are bad. And like both of us can agree today that Virginia drivers are the worst. It was a common geographically based discriminatory statement. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Obscurity. And not only are they coming from Nazareth, which would be intimidating enough, but they're going to Bethlehem, the city of David. Like the centerpiece of Jewish custom and Jewish significance. See, Bethlehem's a place where they're going to be looked down upon. Bethlehem's a place where they're not going to fit in. They're not going to be welcome. They're going to be seen as outsiders in Bethlehem. So this is obscurity. And it's amazing how the world tries to marginalize us from time to time. Attempts to conceal what God wants to reveal by convincing us we don't belong. By convincing us we're too hidden, we're unseen, we're unknown. The obscurity. And the message of Jesus was concealed in obscurity. Mary and Joseph finding their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They have no reputation. They have no wealth. They have no means. They're the least of the least. That's as obscure as it comes. But remember, their obscurity wasn't just to conceal, it was to magnify the revelation of who Jesus is. You know, and sometimes I think we feel obscure. Sometimes we feel like we don't belong. You ever have that sense like, I don't have anything to offer? Or what I have to offer is too little? Or what they have to offer is better than what I have to offer? And we feel like somehow we've been sidelined before we even had a chance. I want to encourage you today. In your own life, don't allow obscurity to conceal Jesus. Don't allow where you came from to determine where you're going. Don't allow the limitations or the humble start to somehow gauge God's great destiny for your life. Yes, there will be difficulty, and we'll believe God in the midst of it. Yes, there's going to be uncertainty, and we're going to worship God in the midst of it. But in the midst of obscurity, where it's either it's your own inner voice or it's the voice of the enemy coming to minimize who God's called you to be, remind yourself, God speaks the destiny for my life. God makes the decisions on direction. God has called me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? And if God said I can do it, who is anybody to say I can't? Philippians 2:7, as we close. I love Philippians. This verse encapsulates what we've been talking about all year. The King of Kings. But the uniqueness of our King. Philippians 2:17 says, He took upon himself the form of a servant. That's how Jesus came. He took upon himself, he allowed obscurity to conceal him, to amplify the revelation, and to show you and I that our obscurity is not going to be the thing that holds us back. It's a thing that God has staged to magnify and to make our lives a message, and to make the mess that we used to be, to give us a testimony, trophies of grace. Look what God declared. Look at the destiny God had for my life and for your life. Even in the details of Jesus' arrival, he shows us that a new day has dawned. Where there was difficulty, Jesus. Where there was uncertainty, Jesus. Where there was obscurity, come on, Jesus shows up. Unlike any other king, kings routinely arrive to the coronation of trumpets. Kings typically demand allegiance and receive tributes. But this king came as a servant. This king said, I will come out of obscurity and difficulty and uncertainty, and you will walk in my footsteps, and you will live the life that God has called you to live. Because we continue to believe, we can continue to worship, and we continue to say yes to the destiny God has for us. I want to read something to you. Hopefully this will, if it hasn't hit home for you today through the holiday haze, hopefully this is the last shot, so take a hold of something here. It's my experience, and in fact recorded in history over and over again, that it is for those very difficult times when chaos reigns and fear is present that God himself shows up. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, when the world was desperate, tyranny ruled, and peace was distant, God incarnate was born. And of course, many didn't believe that God himself was among them, and many were even unaware of their own need for peace and for Jesus. And despite that, he still came. And despite that, he put himself right in the middle of their need. And in the same way, Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, continues to show up, revealing himself and putting himself in the middle of our need. His offer doesn't change. We serve a God who came to give us peace beyond our understanding. Into chaos, God birthed divine order. Into uncertainty, God birthed holy purpose. In obscurity, God poured out perfect love. And in it all, he chose you and he chose me, that our voices will not be silenced, but they'll be amplified in the revelation of Jesus in every season of life. Come on, we are not of those who shrink back even in the holidays. Even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of difficulty, uncertainty, obscurity. Come on, if a baby being born in a humble backdrop to obscure teenagers in the most difficult times and shepherds told in the most humble station and profession, if in that place the message of hope can be heard, it can be heard in my life and your life. Come on, it can be heard in your marriage. Come on, it can be heard in your finances. It can be heard in your work. It can be heard in your kids. It can be heard in your health. It can be heard in the world that God has called us to be salt and light and to be the carriers of hope. Come on, it's a living hope we find in him today. Amen? Would you close your eyes? I want to close our time of prayer today because I believe there's at least a few in this room. Matter of fact, I know in a room this size, there's more than a few. With every eye closed and no moving about, no distractions, I want to pray with just one group of people. CH Live, you just hang with us for another minute because this is for you too. With every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity today to say yes to Jesus, to receive the gift of God. His mercy triumphs over judgment. And his gift to us, God's gift to us, was his son, who was born a baby in a manger, but still was somehow 100% God and 100% man. The mystery of the ages, the mystery, Paul said, the mystery of mysteries, that he was all God and all human simultaneously, so that he could walk in our shoes, so he could know what we're up against, so he could feel every emotion and feel every challenge and feel every hardship and feel every heartache, and yet in it all, never sin. And at the culmination of his life, he was put to death, the death of the cross. The Bible says that no man took his life, but that he offered his life willingly as a sacrifice to stand in substitution for you and I. See, you and I will never live a perfect life of performance, but we don't have to because Jesus lived it for us. And when we say yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to the forgiveness of God and the righteousness of God that Jesus achieved on our account. But you have to open it. You have to receive it. You have to believe that Jesus is God, that he died, that he rose again, that he has a plan and a purpose for you. And with every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity today. I'm going to count to three. When I hit three, I'm just going to invite you to lift your hand. You can just wave to me. And by wave to me, you're saying, include me in that prayer. I'm going to pray a general prayer over us before we dismiss. We'll sing a song. We'll have you on your way. But all of eternity hangs in the balance of what's happening in this room today. So I just encourage you, if this isn't for you, if you're already there, then right now you're praying for others to find their way there. Because Jesus knows you by name. And when you lift your hand, I give you my word. I'm not going to call you out of your seat. I'm not going to trick you into standing up. I'm not going to try to get you to come forward. There's going to be something that happens in your heart, but there's something that happens when there's an outward response to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Are you ready? One, don't wait. Today's a day. Two, you haven't figured everything out yet, and none of us have, but you figured out enough to know God loves you and you need him in your life. Are you ready? One, two, three, hands in the air. Say, yeah, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Might be the first time. Thank you. Thank you. You've ever made this decision, or it might be a recommitment moment because you know in your heart of hearts, you're just not where you should be. Don't walk out of this room without being confident of God's love for you and your place in his home, your place in his family. Anybody else say, yeah, that's me. Include me in that prayer. Praise God. CH Live, you can raise your hand wherever you're viewing today. God sees you. God knows you. Praise God. Anybody else say, yeah, that's me. This is going to be your greatest Christmas ever. Jesus revealed. Church, are you ready to pray with these nice and loud? And maybe you didn't raise your hand because you weren't comfortable, but you know this is for you. Don't let this hold you back. Nice and loud all together. Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So I surrender all I was, all I am, and all I hope to be. I put my life in your hands. You're going to get me through difficulty. You're going to get me through uncertainty. You're going to get me through obscurity. Now say this boldly. I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved. It's your free gift to me. So I take it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we rejoice with those who just prayed that prayer?